In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We adore you. Really, truly, substantially present here tonight in the Blessed Sacrament, in the most holy Eucharist. We thank you, Jesus, for being with us here, body, blood, heart, and soul, and divinity. We thank you for the gift of your real presence in our midst. We thank you, Jesus, for wanting to stay with us in this way. We thank you for wanting to prolong your presence all throughout time so that you could accompany us along our pilgrim journey through time on our way to the Father's house, where you await us for that definitive face-to-face encounter that will bring us the greatest joy and peace and love we have ever experienced. But we believe that we can have a little glimpse of that here tonight. We can get some kind of a foretaste of the goodness and the sweetness of heaven. Thanks to your real presence here. Thanks to the Holy Spirit. Thanks to the angels and saints who accompany us here tonight, who intercede for us. And so indeed, we ask you, holy angels of God, guardian angels, archangels, heavenly host, choirs, principalities, cherubim and seraphim, pray for us. Assist us in our worship here tonight. Holy men and women, saints of God, pray for us here tonight. Especially Pope St. John Paul II, and St. Faustina, St. Therese, Padre Pio, St. Francis, St. Dominic, St. Benedict, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Anne, Blessed Solanus Casey, St. Joseph, and most of all, Mother Mary, we entrust our time before your Son to your Immaculate Heart. To you, Our Lady of Refuge, and we crown you the queen of our time here tonight as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to read from Luke's Gospel. This will be read this Sunday, third Sunday of Easter, Luke 24. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So another resurrection apparition, we say. And again, just like we read this past Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday, from John's Gospel, here too, St. Luke records these words coming out of the mouth of Jesus. First and foremost, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And we know that peace doesn't necessarily mean the absence of conflict. Peace does not mean the absence of conflict. Peace is something deeper than that. Because you can be sure that Jesus had peace even throughout his passion and crucifixion and death. His peace came from his conviction, from his union with the Father in the Spirit. He always knew who he was, the beloved Son of the Father. And he knew where he was going. That's why, as he breathed his last breath, he could say, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." I pray that those will be the last words on my lips before I die. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And I trust that you are going to receive my spirit with love forever, for eternity. That you're going to take care of me. That you will raise me up." And indeed, that is what happened. And so Jesus wants that peace, his peace, to be your peace. Did you get that? Jesus wants his peace to be your peace. But remember, peace does not equal absence of conflict. Because this side of heaven, that doesn't happen. We live in a fallen world. And we have an enemy who hates us. Satan and Lucifer and their companions. They hate you. Remember that. They absolutely hate you and your family, and they want to destroy you. They want to do everything they can to make your life miserable. The good news is we have Jesus, the King of Kings, who is God alone, who has risen from the dead, who has conquered sin and death and Satan, who's torn open the gates of hell. He's saved us from the grip of the devil, and he has opened the gates of paradise. So we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. I was listening to a wild, I can't even begin to describe to you how wild this testimony is. It's over 2.5 hours long. This gentleman from Uganda, and it's only been made public in the last year. I just stumbled upon it the other day. So he was all involved in the occult, serving Satan. He was 24 years old. He had basically been given to Satan from his birthday. And there's this other, and so he was 24 years old. A 19-year-old woman was sent by God to go and deliver him. And she was like, "Jesus, do you know who this guy is?" And Jesus is like, "Do you know who I am? And that I am with you?" And so Jesus was telling her to go and prophesy to him. And so she goes, and she really doesn't want to say anything. But sure enough, he was up early in the morning.
She didn't think that he would be up, but he was trying to catch a plane. And so she says his name once, James. He didn't answer because people would call him Master James. And then she said, and then Jesus told her, say it again, James. He didn't respond. She said it a third time, James. Now he was angry because three times in the realm of the spirit is an invitation for a fight. Like, amen, amen, amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here we come. So he turned around. He was used to being able to make people blind. He was used to being able to kill people just by looking at them. He was powerless against her. He was powerless against her. And he couldn't look in her eyes. And then in the spirit, he was calling on 600 other witches that he knew were in the country that served him, basically. So he was inviting them to, like, astral project and to be with him and to fight against her. So now there were 601 enemies lined up trying to defeat her. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And he couldn't believe it. He was like, what power does she have? It was the power of the risen Lord Jesus alive in her. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears. And all of those 600 witches that he had called upon in the spirit, they scattered. And he was shaking for fear. Never before had he felt afraid. In his 24 years of life, he had never been afraid until that moment. He was shaking in his boots. And Jesus spoke very clearly to him and let him know who was really boss. Awesome. Awesome. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus, he shows them his hands and his side. I like to joke, it's a guy thing, ladies. You know, we like to show off our battle scars. Women try to cover them up, you know. Guys like to show them off normally. So Jesus, being a, you know, a very good man, wants to show off his wounds. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is I myself, the one who was nailed to the cross. Guess what? They couldn't keep me down. They couldn't keep me down. So that should inspire us that we have nothing to fear and that his power lives in us. The same power, the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead, lives inside of you and me. My friend, Father Patrick, he likes to hold out his hands at healing service and says to people, repeat after me, these things are loaded. And it's true for all of us. Not, I mean, priest's hands for sure have a special, you know, extra, you know, punch, you might say. But every Christian, like that 19-year-old woman, she packed a punch that 600 witches couldn't withstand. So the Lord wants us to know that whatever has happened to you, whatever you've done, that doesn't define you ultimately. It didn't define him. It didn't hold him down. But he overcame that. He conquered that. And as Paul says, if we died with him, if we were buried with him, which we were in baptism, we will also rise with him. And we already get to share in his power and authority. You've heard me say that up here many times. What does it mean to be a Christian? It's not just somebody who believes in Jesus. Because as I liked to point out to this person who gave me that answer, I think the devil believes in Jesus, but I wouldn't call the devil a Christian, would you? And the devil probably knows the Bible better than I do. He probably knows the catechism better than I do, but I wouldn't call him a Christian. Amen? So then what is a Christian? Right? It's somebody who has received the anointing, because Christ means the anointed one. And so if you're a Christian, that means you've received an anointing. At your baptism, you were all anointed by God through his minister. But it was God who was claiming you for himself, through himself, in himself. The Father claiming you through the Son, in the Spirit. That's what happened. That's what happened. I was just looking up the scripture passage today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2, 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. That's who you are. That's who you are. Citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. As he says elsewhere in, I think it's Philippians 3:20, your citizenship is in heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven now, today. Not will be. Paul doesn't say your citizenship will be in heaven. It doesn't say you will be citizens with the saints. It doesn't say you will be members of the household of God. It says you are that now, today. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because he is risen and will never die again. He will never die again. Let me say that again. He will never die again. So we will never die. In him we will never die. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. So now death is a door that we just walk through into the Father's house. Simple as that. Thanks to him. He said he is the gate or the door in John 10. He said he's the good shepherd. But remember, he also said that he's the gate. He's the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We just walk. We just walk with him. Earlier in Ephesians 2, let me read this for you. It's become one of my favorite scripture passages. Because, you know, people get all worried about going to heaven. I just want to get to heaven, Father. I said, heaven has already come into you. You don't have to get there. It's come to you. What are you worried about? They don't get that, but I'm trying to help people get that, right? Ephesians 2, 6, God raised us up. God does it. You don't do it. God does it. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. He's already done it. We've already got one foot in the Father's house, thanks to Jesus. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace on the other side. Absolutely. Expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, not works. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works. I'm reading Paul's letter here. I'm not making this up. So that no one can boast. For here's number 10. This is the kicker. For we are God's handiwork. Repeat that after me. I am God's handiwork. I am God's handiwork. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In here, that's one translation. Let me read this other translation. To put another spin on that. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus
the anointed one, even before we were born. God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. How about that? Even before you were born, I was born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Of course, we're free to do that or not. But whatever the good work is that God wants you to do, you were made for that. You were made for that. You were born for that. And you don't have to prove anything to anybody. I was praying with that this past week. You don't have to prove anything to God. You don't have to prove anything to yourself. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. He's already chosen you. He's already created you for this moment, for this time, for this place. And you don't have to prove anything to anybody. You belong here. You belong here because He's called you here. He wants you here. Let's pray. We'll prepare our minds and our hearts and our bodies to receive prayer. Let's see, maybe a couple quick testimonies from Holy Week. We visited this family, three generations under one roof. The grandma, her husband had already passed. So then her son and daughter were living with her, and then the daughter-in-law and grandchildren. Well, at least they were visiting. I don't know that they lived there. So maybe just two generations under the one roof. Anyway, there were three generations in the house. So grandma says to me, "I've been taking pills to help me fall asleep for 20 years. And she's really been distressed ever since her husband passed about 6 years ago." I said, "All right, well, let's pray. Let's do it." So funny. She's sitting down. Picture this, right? "In the name of Jesus, I bind and rebuke the spirit of insomnia." I kid you not, her head fell over and she started to snore. And I turned my head and I looked at her adult daughter who was on the couch, and the look on her face was, "Did I just see that?" She was snoring in an instant. And then she came to maybe, I don't know, a minute or two later, and she's like, "What just happened?" We said, "You were snoring." I think God got rid of your insomnia for you. And then we were praying over her grandson, who unfortunately, 7 years old, already had suffered some seizures. So I'm sitting in front of him on the couch, and his mom and dad are there. We're praying, and after a minute or two, I stop. I say, "How you feel?" He's like, "Oh yeah, I'm good. I'm kind of hot." And his mom, she takes her hand and she puts it down his back, and she says, "He's sweating." And he had been sitting still for, you know, "He's sweating." I'm like, "That's a good sign. That's a sign of the Holy Spirit at work." You've heard me tell the story about Donna, my mom's friend who battled sarcoma. I just prayed with her again the other day because she was going in. She had some kind of a growth going on that they had to go in for. Her heart stopped for 5 minutes on the operating table. She went into cardiac arrest and she came out of it unscathed. Doctors couldn't believe it. And she's fine. She's cancer-free. So there's nothing that our God can't do. Even keep you alive for 5 minutes while your heart isn't beating. How about that? God doesn't know what the word impossible means. It doesn't exist for God. Impossible doesn't exist. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the manifestation of your divine power, especially in your risen Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
We thank you that we don't even have to fear death itself. That it's just a door we walk through now into your house forever. Thanks to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And while we live here, we know that your peace can be our peace. And so we pray for that peace tonight. Maybe some of you are really struggling with anxiety for whatever reason. Just hand that over to Jesus tonight. Jesus, you take care of it. Whatever's causing your anxiety, just say, Jesus, you take care of it. And in exchange for my anxiety, Jesus, give me your peace. I'll take it. I'll take your peace tonight. You got to receive it. He's already giving it. You have to take it. You got to receive it. And so tonight, as you come forward, say it. Jesus, I receive it. I receive your peace. You can say it right now. Jesus, I receive your peace. I want it. Give it to me. I believe you're giving it to me. I receive it. And all that is causing me anxiety, Jesus, I surrender it to you. You take care of it. And any unforgiveness in your hearts, offer that to God. Offer forgiveness to whomever it is that has offended you, or to yourself. Maybe you need to show mercy to yourself tonight. Jesus, help us to forgive the way you forgave from the cross. And his act of forgiveness can be yours. I don't think it gets any better than that. You can just imagine the person or the incident in your head, and you can just say with Jesus, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You have one enemy, brothers and sisters. Listen to me. You have one enemy. And that enemy does not have flesh and bones. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's not your boss. It's not your neighbor. Your enemy is Satan himself. That's your enemy. Your enemy does not have flesh and bones. They might be under the influence of Satan. But your ultimate enemy is Satan himself. So that's why God doesn't want you to hate anybody. And he doesn't want you to hate yourself. Any part of yourself. How often do we say, oh, I don't like that part of myself? Well, God loves that part of you. How about that? I was talking to somebody recently, and they're like, oh, Father, I just hate it when I do that. Well, God doesn't hate it. God doesn't hate that part of you that does that. He doesn't like what you're doing, sure, but he understands why you're doing it, why you're struggling with that. So don't hate that part of yourself, but rather ask the Holy Spirit to help you be compassionately curious towards that part of yourself. And then bring that to the Lord. Bring that part of you to the Lord and ask him to love on you there. I hope that makes some sense. And let's just renounce some lies together here. This is always good. It always opens up the spiritual airwaves, if you will. Okay, you ready? In the name of Jesus, repeat after me. Yeah. I believe that I'm a child of God. In the name of Jesus, I believe that I belong here because God wants me here. In the name of Jesus, I believe that God has claimed me for himself. Through himself. And in himself. In the name of Jesus. I believe. That God has called me by my name. To be his friend. In the name of Jesus. I believe. That God is alive in me. And I don't have to be afraid of anything or anyone. All right, let's renounce some lies. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I'm unwanted In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I don't belong here. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that God doesn't want me. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I have to prove myself. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I don't have what it takes. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that there's something wrong with me. All right, let's renounce some spirits. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of anxiety. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of abuse. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of rejection. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the orphan spirit. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of trauma. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of affliction. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of cancer. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of sickness. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of disease. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of obsession. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of compulsion. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of allergies. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of infection. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of depression. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of self-pity. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of resentment. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of rage. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of hatred. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of addiction. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of despair. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of suicide. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of self-hatred. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of pride. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of envy. Okay, now I'll just pray a deliverance prayer here. So now in the name of Jesus and by the power of his holy cross and his precious blood and with the sword of the Spirit, I now break the power of all these lies and evil spirits that you just renounced. And I command them all to go now directly and immediately to the Blessed Sacrament to be dealt with by Jesus as he wills. You will go bound. You will not touch or harm anything or anyone on the way. You will never come back and you will never send anything in your place. You will in fact be crushed by the heel of the Mother of God. And they all said, Amen. Praise God. How'd that feel? Awesome. Good. All right, now let's pray for infilling of the Holy Spirit. Everyone say with me, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Heavenly Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to heal us, to heal your sons and daughters here tonight, Heal them, Father. Heal them by the power of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Bodies be healed in the name of Jesus. Sickness, illness, disease, cancer, be gone in the name of Jesus. Pain, swelling, inflammation, infection, viruses, be gone in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and heal these brothers and sisters in Christ. Abba, Father, heal your sons and daughters by the power of the Holy Spirit. Manifest your power. Manifest your love and mercy for everyone here tonight in a personal way, in a powerful way. Come, Holy Spirit, knock their socks off. Give them heaven. Give them heaven, Holy Spirit. Give them heaven. More, Lord. Holy fire. Let your holy fire fall. Let your holy fire fall. Let your holy fire fall. Jesus, we believe. Yeah, let's all pray this together. Jesus, I believe that you will heal me. I thank you in advance for healing me. And I promise to give you praise and honor and to testify to your goodness and your mercy and your healing power for your glory and the salvation of souls and the triumph of your kingdom. Amen.